Picture sin as a blemish. Suppose a painted wall in your home had become smudged or blemished. Well, you could paint the wall anew. The new application of paint would not only cover over the unsightly area, it would actually make it go away. The blemish would no longer be there. That is what God promises to do with sin. Make the impurity disappear by covering it over with purity. What does forgiveness really mean? Our previous study revealed it means that every type of sin is remitted. That was demonstrated in Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2, in which God announced that transgression is forgiven, sin is covered, He no longer imputes iniquity to the one who is trusting Jesus Christ for forgiveness. But that did not exhaust the full meaning of forgiveness. Forgiveness not only means that every kind of sin is remitted, forgiveness further means that there is full remission of each sin. In other words, God does not forgive in part. God does not forgive on conditions which might involve the penitent believer still being held responsible for once forgiven sins. No, when God forgives, He forgives totally and eternally. Now that's the truth we will pursue in this further study of Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2. Observe the passage. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. As we have reviewed the nouns that refer to man's error, transgression, sin, iniquity, guile, let us now study the words which refer to God's forgiveness, and look at the list of verbs. Transgression is forgiven, sin is covered, iniquity is not imputed. What blessed words of assurance. Let's examine them one by one. To forgive means to send away, to lift up and bear off as a burden. When God refers to transgressions being forgiven, He says they are removed, carried away, so that the repenting believer is no longer held accountable for them. You can see it pictured in an ancient ritual of the Hebrew religion. The Day of Atonement was climaxed by a solemn ceremony involving two animals. The priest laid his hands on the head of one, confessed the sins of the people, and the animal was offered and sacrificed. Its blood was sprinkled before God as a confession of faith in His willingness to accept a vicarious offering and to forgive sin. And then a second animal was brought. The priest laid his hands on its head, confessed the sins of the people, and the animal was taken far away from the camp of Israel and released. Now the meaning is that through sacrifice, sins are taken far away. That's the meaning of forgiveness. Read some familiar passages of Scripture and imply that meaning to forgive. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, for instance. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive, that is, lift up and take away, our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. John the Baptist introduced Jesus with the proclamation, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." The Apostle Paul declared, "Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness, the lifting up and bearing away of sins." That is what God does for you when He forgives your sins. He lifts them up and bears them away so that you are never faced with them again. God is not content to stop there. Knowing that we're slow in understanding spiritual truth, He goes a step further. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven is followed by the statement, whose sin is covered. To cover means to conceal, to put out of sight. As related to sin, it is God's promise that He will put out of His sight by covering it with His blood of the sacrifice sprinkled on the mercy seat. Picture sin as a blemish. Suppose a painted wall in your home had become smudged or blemished. Well, you could paint the wall anew. The new application of paint would not only cover over the unsightly area, it would actually make it go away. The blemish would no longer be there. That is what God promises to do with sin. Make the impurity disappear by covering it over with purity. The prophet Isaiah understood that concept and declared, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels." That's what God does with your sin. He covers them over with the blood of the sacrifice, Jesus Christ His Son, and hides them beneath the robe of His own imputed righteousness. Thus covered, sins are eternally gone. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Now the word impute is a bookkeeping term. It means to make an account, to reckon a thing as a debt to be paid, to write an item against one's record. God's promise is that sin, when once forgiven, is never again written to one's account. No longer is the forgiven person held responsible for answering for his sin. How's that possible? Well, 2 Corinthians 5:19 replies, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Did you catch it? God's purpose in grace is not to impute sin to men, but to impute His righteousness to them. Again, I ask, how is that possible? Well, God imputed man's sin to Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus went to the cross and paid the full penalty which sin deserved to receive. Now, those who trust Him as personal Savior are placed in Christ by the Holy Spirit, and so bear a relationship to sin in which sin's debt is already paid. In justice, God can justly impute Christ's righteousness to all who believe and no longer needs to impute the guilt of sin. What does that mean to you? Well, it means that every sin you ever committed is written against your account, that you will surely answer to God in strict justice for each fault. It further means Jesus has borne the penalty of your sins, and that through faith in Him, you may have His righteousness transferred to your account before God, so that your sins will no longer appear there. That transfer is made when you turn from sin and trust Jesus as your personal Savior. Now look again at the great truths expressed in Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2. Transgression is forgiven. Sin is covered. Iniquity is no longer imputed. Three wonderfully assuring words of grace. But that's not the end. Time forbids us to review God's blessed promises to wash away our sins, blot out our sins, forget our sins, cast our sins into the sea, to put them behind His back, and on the list could continue. Besides those, there are the blessed words of assurance such as ransom, redeem, justify, remit, atone, propitiate. That list, too, is almost endless. Oh, how good God is! He not only provides the remedy for our sins, He announces that provision and explains that remedy in so many different terms that all who hear may fully understand and respond to His offer of grace. Take this message as God's personal message to you. Regardless of what sins you have committed, however long you may have persisted in them, whatever opportunities you may have missed, God's offer of forgiveness of sin is to you right now. So here is His invitation. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You can come with assurance, for He said, All the Father hath given me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out.